So what if you could hang out with really talented copywriters and other experts, ask them about their successes and failures, their work processes and their habits, then steal an idea or two to inspire your own work? That's what Kira and I try to do every week at the Copywriter Club podcast.
And you're invited to join the club for episode one as we chat with copywriter Kaylee Moore about personal branding, growing her list, and writing for popular websites like Copy Hackers, Sumo Me, and Inc. Magazine.
Hey, Kira and Kaylee.
Hey.
Hey, good morning.
It's great to have you here.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for being here, Kaylee. We appreciate your time. And, you know, I think always a good place to start is with how you make your money as a copywriter, because so many of us do so many different things and have different niches. And I think it will help give some context to the questions that will follow.
That sounds great with me.
So how do you make your money, Kaylee? What type of work do you focus on as a copywriter?
So my niche is kind of in the world of SaaS and e-commerce, and it didn't always start that way. When I got started as a freelance writer about 3 years ago, I was doing kind of the typical thing and taking any job that came my way. But over the past year and a half especially, I've really focused on only taking jobs and working with clients that fall within those kind of two pretty similar worlds of SaaS and e-commerce. And it's been really, really wonderful. I think it's helped my business grow quite a bit to really have that focus and really weed out the jobs that I enjoy doing and versus the ones that I don't enjoy doing so much. And it's really allowed me to grow my business too. So just kind of committing to working with a very specific set of clients has been a really wise choice. And while it was difficult many times to say no to, well, and it still is, to say no to opportunities that come my way, it just really helps me not be burnt out like I was in the past when I was taking any job. And it also helps me become a better subject matter expert and have to not have to do as much research as, you know, if I was learning something for the very first time.
Kaylee, lately you've written on your blog and I think in your newsletter a lot about your journey from working with a brand name, like a company brand name, to working only under your own name now. Will you tell us a little bit about that and like the transition and your thinking behind the shift that you've made over the last little while?
Absolutely. So when I started, I was using a brand name called Lumen, and I was offering a lot of different services. I was offering writing, social media management and consulting, and then my husband was doing the graphic design side of that business. And it was all kind of under this umbrella of the Lumen brand name. And with that, I didn't really have a focus on the type of client that I was targeting either. It was really just, hey, this is me. These are all the services I offer. If you want to work with me, let's talk. And I did that for about a year. And what I found was that it was kind of the master of none thing, because I was operating as this kind of faceless brand who was offering a lot of different services. Nobody was really coming to me as an expert for any particular thing. I hadn't really positioned myself in that way. So about 2 years ago now, I guess, I switched over to marketing with my name, Kaylee Moore, as just kind of an individual copywriter, specifically getting rid of some of those extra services and really honing in my focus first on just the copywriting service. So that was kind of the phase one. And as I got going with that and kind of started getting some traction from using my name and my face, people came to know me and, you know, who I was and what I could do well. And so phase two of that was really kind of transitioning into, these are my specialties, this is my subject matter. And over time, more and more people have come to know, okay, this is Kaylee Moore, she's a freelance writer, she writes about SaaS and e-commerce related topics. So it's really kind of been phases transitioning into that personal brand. And I found that it's so much more effective because, like I said, people come to know me as an individual. They know my name, my face across social channels. My online presence is much more recognizable because instead of just kind of being a faceless brand, I'm me. People can come to talk to me instead of, you know, trying to go back and forth with the Lumen brand or, you know, who even is this behind this brand. There's just much more of a personal connection that I think has been really helpful at building relationships and opening doors for new opportunities in using my real name and my personal branding.
That's awesome. So would you say that it's also had a financial impact on your business?
I would say so, yeah. Because like I kind of touched on before, I wasn't getting the flow of work as a brand that I started getting once I switched to using my name. And I think that, again, that's because I became a subject matter expert and I really kind of tried to position myself to a very specific set of clients. And I could then target my marketing to that specific niche and, you know, do all the things that you're supposed to do when it comes to marketing, you know, not targeting a mass audience or trying to be everything to everyone. Once I transitioned into the personal brand, the expert on this, you know, very specific group of customers and subject matter, people came to know that. And then the referrals started coming. I started getting more specific inquiries, more relevant job opportunities. And so over the past 3 years, I have grown my revenue by about 40% every single year. So pretty significant growth, I think, and a pretty steady track record for success.
That's impressive. Kaylee, you know, I think copywriters that are listening probably are nodding their head as you were saying, you know, you were taking on all projects, anything that was presented to you, you're master of none. And then you made that switch and really started to niche and focus on SaaS and e-commerce. But, you know, I think what we don't hear about as often is how you actually do that and what that looked like behind the scenes. So I'm just interested in hearing more about how you knew it was a good time. Was it just so painful at that point that you just had to make that change? And then how you took those steps to make sure you had the work for your new specialty?
So it was a little scary going into the transition. I wasn't sure how it was going to go. You're never sure how it's going to go when you make a switch from, you know, going from the norm, going from the status quo to trying something new. But I took Paul Jarvis's creative class, and that really opened my eyes to a lot of missed opportunities as far as targeting a specific group of customers and really fine-tuning what do I enjoy doing as a freelance writer? What are the topics that I like? So once I took that class, my husband helped create a new website for me, the kayleemoore.com. So that was kind of the first step into transitioning from the We Are Lumen site to the Kaylee Moore site. So then I actually had like a marketing asset that I could say, hey, I'm repositioning myself. This is who I am. Please check this out. And from there, that kind of was a nice home base for people who were trying to figure out who I was and what type of services I offered. So the creative class was really helpful in conducting market research, really fine-tuning, you know, the things that I wanted to do moving forward and the things that I didn't want to do, really being concrete about that. And then just kind of making the switch and saying, okay, well, if I'm going to do this, you know, I kind of need to rebrand. I need to take a new look at things. So creating that new website and then, you know, getting rid of some of the older channels that I had used through Lumen. I had some social media accounts. I had a blog for the Lumen site. I just kind of let those fall to the wayside. And I really poured my energy into concentrating on the personal efforts that I had. So the blog on the new Kaylee Moore site and using my social channels to not only participate online, but to go to places where my target customers were spending time and being an active participant there, whether it was forums or, you know, Reddit groups or writing for publications like Inc. and Entrepreneur. Those were places that I knew my target customers were reading and were looking for pieces of authority-driven content. So just really putting a focus on what can I do to get in front of this new audience and communicate what I'm doing differently now.
You mentioned writing for some of these sort of popular blogs, Sumo Me, I think you've written for, Copy Hackers. How does that impact your business? And for the writers who might be interested in doing the same thing, how did you go about reaching out to these sites and, you know, either pitching ideas or making the contacts required to be able to use that as a way to grow your business?
I think Twitter for me has been a really valuable tool as far as building relationships with editors and content managers, just kind of going back and forth with them for, you know, extended periods of time and getting to know them and having them come to know me through the back and forth that we have, especially on Twitter. That's been a huge door opener for me as far as landing those great opportunities that have helped kind of launch my business forward. Joanna from Copy Hackers, she and I went back and forth over Twitter. We emailed a few times and that relationship kind of started organically. Same thing with the connection that I had with an editor at Entrepreneur. He and I were just going back and forth on Twitter for a long time. And so when I finally did make the ask, hey, you know, I'd like to send over some pitches to you. Would that be okay? He was very receptive to it because we kind of had that existing relationship and it wasn't just a cold ask. So yeah, Twitter has been extremely beneficial for my business and in my experience, but also just making the ask. I think so many people are intimidated by the process of reaching out to people and putting themselves out there and saying, hey, I have something interesting that I think might be relevant for your audience. I think just doing that as well is a great door opener. I mean, sometimes with the volume of content that these types of publications are putting out, they're looking for guest posts and they're looking for interesting perspectives and voices. So if you can go to them with some ideas that make for great content on their sites, you know, why would they say no? And I think that that's something that I found to be true a lot of times, just making the ask and putting yourself out there to say, what do you think about this? Is this something that I could offer to your audience can really pan out and be a huge opportunity to grow your business and to grow your reach.
So Kaylee, if I know that you write for Inc. magazine and that caught my attention and I was like, oh, I would love to do something like that. So what advice would you give to someone who has not written for them in the past and maybe is on Twitter but not super active? What does that going back and forth actually look like? So it doesn't feel like, to me, it just, I feel like they know what I'm trying to get. And so it feels kind of like sleazy to me, even though I know there's a right way to do it and a wrong way. And clearly you're doing it the right way. So how do I do that?
I think it's all coming down to just being a nice person and being genuine in your interactions with people and not making that ask right off the bat. The specific editor, Entrepreneurs, that I had reached out to was on a podcast, and that's kind of how I came to find him. But he was talking about how so many people on Twitter just immediately reach out and try to say, hey, I have some ideas. Can I pitch them to you? And it's very aggressive and it's very unfriendly. But nobody ever really takes the approach of just, you know, being nice and having a really general back and forth about any kind of topic on Twitter before making that ask and kind of building that rapport with the editor or the contact that you're trying to make. So just going back and forth with them. If they post silly stuff or if they post stuff that's interesting to you, just commenting on it and sharing it and being, you know, a social person on social media, it's so easy to kind of hide in the shadows. But when you participate and you know, you don't take that very aggressive approach, you're just kind of organically having a nice general back and forth, that really sets the stage for other conversations. And if you're consistent in that, if you're consistent in going back and forth, they very quickly come to know, oh yeah, that's such and such that I talk to on Twitter all the time. You know, it seems so common sense to just, oh, well, I really just have to go back and forth. But yes, in my experience, it's a really, really easy way to make some important contacts.
Do you dedicate a certain amount of time to doing that each day? Or does it just kind of come organically where you just are naturally jumping in there and spending some time each day and then cutting out to do your work? I think it's, like you said, it's easy for us to hide as writers and to get deep into our client work and go into a cave. Like, I will go into a cave and just disappear from social media. Clearly, that's not a good thing.
Yeah, I think for me, unless I'm really head down working on a long piece of content where I have to work distraction free, Twitter is kind of the place I go to break up the day and to get that interaction that I'm missing from not having coworkers. I take lots of short little breaks throughout the day. I keep the tab open and I pop over there and try to participate throughout the day. And at night too, I think there probably should be a hard stop time to when you put down social media, but I'm not very good about that. I don't know. It's just kind of a dialogue that I have going on a day-to-day basis. And I don't have a set amount of time that I invest in it, but I just try to check in throughout the day, and go back and forth with people. If I'm going to spend the time to open the tab and check out Twitter, I feel like I should, you know, participate while I'm there. That's my theory.
Interesting. Kaylee, so I have some questions about your newsletter. You have a weekly newsletter that you send out, and you seem to focus it on writing and content mostly for writers or for other freelancers, not necessarily for your clients. I'm curious about the thinking behind that and also your process for creating content, you know, on a weekly basis for a newsletter, which, you know, for a lot of us is sort of this arduous task, you know, whatever the deadline comes, you're like, oh, I've got to put this stuff together. You know, so what's your process for that? And what's your thinking behind what you do there?
So when I was marketing myself as Lumen, I did have a newsletter that was aimed at my client base. And I was writing about a lot of client-based topics. But what I found from that was that the people who I had on that list and my past clients and things like that, they just weren't that interested in the subject matter that I was covering. I feel like they were going to other places for that type of information. It just wasn't that useful. So when I launched the Kaylee Moore newsletter, the Cup of Coffee newsletter, I knew that I wanted to use it as a way to share what I had learned as a freelance writer for other writers who were just getting started, even if that wasn't a good fit for my client base. Just because I feel like you should teach what you know. I've heard that from a lot of people like Nathan Berry, from, you know, a lot of people who are out there sharing their processes and what they're learning along the way. So I wanted to share what I had learned from freelance writing and from, you know, 3 years of transitioning and you know, day in, day out doing this type of work. And so I've kind of experimented a little bit with freelancer oriented content, you know, stuff about processes and being a better writer for your clients, just being a better business person in general, and then also some writing tips too. So it's kind of a mix between the two. And I've done surveys along the way to see what my subscribers really look for in a newsletter, what they liked, what they don't like. And a lot of them liked the freelance-oriented content. So more and more I'm writing about processes and tips for invoicing and, you know, stuff like the ins and outs of being a freelancer day to day. And my process for that, you know, I really go to the audience a lot for suggestions. I've experimented with different tools for, hey, help me pick a topic for this week's newsletter. I spend a lot of time in different forums like Inbound and Reddit to see what are the questions that are being asked most frequently. That gives me a lot of ideas for what to cover in my newsletter. And it's only twice a month. So I feel like because it's kind of low frequency, I have a bit more time to dedicate to development and thought process and the actual writing of it. And they're fairly short. You know, these aren't long think pieces or anything like that. It's just kind of really nice, short, distilled bits of information that I am seeing pop up pretty frequently in these places that I'm visiting. So that's kind of my process. That's kind of how I figured out what works best for my specific audience that's subscribed now. I think I have a little over 400 subscribers. So it's slowly growing. But I have gotten a lot of positive feedback from it, from people saying, I've learned so much from this, or, wow, you know, I'm not finding this content elsewhere on the internet. I've had a lot of questions about, well, how can I do this better? Kind of as a follow-up to those newsletters. So it's been a great learning process, and I'm still learning every time I send one out.
Do you do anything specific to grow your list, or have you just let that happen organically as people find you?
It's been pretty organic so far. I have several opt-ins on my website. I use Welcome Mat. I have an opt-in on my Twitter account, and I always include a link to opt into my list when I post my blog content, both on-site and through Medium, where I syndicate that content as well. So I haven't invested anything into growing it beyond, you know, what I pay for the Welcome Mat, but you know, that's something I'm thinking about moving forward, is maybe how do I more aggressively grow that list, and where can I get this valuable content in front of people who need to read it.
Kaylee, I read one of your articles, I think it was Entrepreneur, about using Slack to build a referral network. And I loved it because I think the whole concept behind this podcast and the club is to really help copywriters step out of their silos and partner and collaborate. And really, it could help your business with referrals. I've seen it. It's helped my business massively. And so my question for you is just how do copywriters take that first step to start building that network without necessarily paying, you know, an arm and a leg to join a community? to find those referrals and also just build that supportive community?
So like you said, Slack has been a huge, huge place to get in touch with fellow writers and content marketers and people who can refer work. And those have come up through Twitter, through connections with, you know, writing for places like SumoMe. I found that there are a lot of existing Slack channels out there. And so if you can get an invite to those, you can kind of come into those groups of existing communities where there are already a lot of people there. You don't have to start from scratch. It's just kind of finding the right connections and again, making the ask. If there is a group that you find that you'd like to be a part of, it's often just a matter of making that ask and saying, hey, I'd love to get in on that. Can I get an invite to your group? So Slack definitely is a big one. Facebook groups are also helpful. Sometimes there are several that I use for not only finding sources for the pieces that I'm writing, but for kind of a sounding board for other fellow writers and content marketers. And again, it's kind of just reaching out to people who are doing what you're doing and asking those questions and saying, hey, you know, I'm looking for ways to grow my kind of bubble as a freelance writer. Are there any introductions that you can make for me? Or are there places that I may be missing that I should be participating? Just asking around to the people who are doing what you're doing and, you know, seeing what's out there that you're missing is a great way to kind of find those opportunities.
Are there other things that you do to prospect, Kaylee, specifically, you know, outreach to clients that you might be interested in? Or have you reached the point in your business where enough clients come to you that you don't have to worry about that anymore?
Yeah, I'm kind of at the point now where I have a steady flow of work coming my way. So I'm not actively prospecting, and I haven't for about 8 or 9 months now. I have a pretty steady flow that comes through my website, or for the most part, they are referral based. So I have, you know, a list of clients who do similar things to the other clients that I have. And, you know, they pass my name along if they hear of a relevant opportunity that comes up. But I did just recently experiment. I reached out in some Slack groups and I posted a thing on Twitter where I said, hey, I'd like to do some more specific e-commerce work, just to kind of see what feedback I would get from asking in that way. And it was a huge response. So again, I think that might be partially because I have built up a body of work. I have a fairly large, well, for me, group of contacts who know what I do and have kind of seen the work that I can produce. So the response from that was really surprising to me. I think I got 6 new inquiries for jobs that were, wow. Yeah, people who are like ready to get started right away. So I got to choose from those which ones were the best fit for me. But I mean, they were all e-commerce clients. They were all really relevant to the work I was looking to do. So again, I think once you build up that body of work and you make those connections, people are happy to pass your name along and, you know, say, hey, oh yeah, I know of something that'd be a perfect fit for you. I know the stat out there somewhere is that 81% of freelancers refer other work to fellow freelancers, or they collaborate on projects, things like that. And I think that that's 100% true. I've seen that be true so many times in my own business, is that a lot of work has come from fellow freelancers or people within my niche who are happy to just kind of pass the name along once they know that the work is good.
No, it's so true too. I wish I would have known that when I started, that, you know, the key is really building the relationships with other freelancers, especially freelancers who are busy and have lots of work and can't handle all of it. And they want that help. They want to be able to send their potential clients and community to people they know can handle the projects. It's so important.
Absolutely.
Kaylee, I'm interested to know if you have retainer clients or you just project-based, and you know, the reasoning behind that.
Yeah, so I have 2 clients that I have had on retainer basically since I started freelancing full-time. And I do a lot of different things for those clients. They're kind of grandfathered in from when I got started, fairly low maintenance, but I really enjoy working with them. I do a lot of different types of work for them, which is kind of a whole other story. But that's a very small percentage of what I do. The bulk of my time is spent creating mostly blog content for the freelance clients that I work with. But those 2 retainer clients, I mean, it is a nice security amount of income that I get every couple of, well, every month. It's billed on a monthly basis. But yeah, it's something I really value in my business, because with freelancing, it's so up and down. I mean, you never know what your income is going to be. And, you know, you have a certain goal that you set for yourself, but having that guaranteed income on a month-to-month basis is just kind of a nice, at least I'm always going to have this amount, you know, that you can kind of keep in your mind. So I think there is definitely value to having those types of clients. And if there's a freelance writer out there who gets an opportunity to have kind of a retainer with different clients or different people who are interested in that, it's definitely worth exploring. It's a nice security blanket.
Very cool. So what's next for you in your business? Is it just more of the same? Are you thinking about building any products? You know, where, if we're interviewing you, you know, two years from now, what's different?
That's a good question. That's something I wrestle with all the time. I'm just finally at that sweet spot of doing work that I really enjoy and having a nice balance between free time and work time and, you know, keeping busy. So I struggle because I'm so happy right now. I'm so happy with the place that I'm at. I always feel like it can't get any better than this. So I hope more of the same. I hope that I continue at this pace. I hope that I am able to help more freelancers in the future who are maybe just getting started. I don't have any plans right now for physical products. It's something I've thought about a lot, but I don't have anything in the works right now. I really would just kind of like to focus on teaching more and helping people who are just getting started, because I think that there's so much opportunity in the freelance writing world. It's just a matter of getting people to commit to it and really give it a try and going about it the right way. I think there are a lot of things I wish I knew when I got started. I didn't really have anybody to ask about all of the things that I was curious about or scared about. And so if I can be that person for somebody else, that's something I'm interested in.
Well, it's so good to hear you say that you're happy with what you're doing. And it's such a positive note, especially since sometimes, you know, it can be really hard to be a freelancer. And so it's good to hear a positive story, because I can kind of go down my own rabbit hole of negativity at times. But Kaylee, I would like to know, you know, how you really stay up on the game and your skills and learning the latest, because I know that's something that you mentioned on your website. It's really important to you.
Yeah, I think my clients do a really nice job of keeping me on my toes and having me stay up to date on the latest trends, you know, especially with a lot of the email marketing type work that I do. I'm learning a lot about automation, which is really interesting to me. So a lot of the assignments that I get require me to keep learning. And because I'm building off of an existing knowledge base, I feel like I'm getting more and more expertise in this specific world that I write for, which is SaaS and e-commerce. So, you know, I'm getting paid to learn more, which is great news. And just in researching the topics that I write about or on the assignments that I'm giving, I am actively learning all the time. And I enjoy it. You know, it doesn't feel like work. So reading and learning these new things and staying up to date on what's happening kind of in this world, it's not a hassle. It's not something that feels like, you know, I have to keep doing this. So it's just kind of coming naturally, I guess.
If you could go back 3 years to when you were just starting out as a freelancer, what's the best advice you'd give yourself to start out with?
Let's see. Build relationships with people. Make that a huge priority. Plan for retirement. Work with an accountant. Because if you're somebody like me who is scared of taxes and that's all very intimidating, outsourcing all of that to an expert who knows what they're doing just makes your life so much easier. And just, I think, participate. Participate often and participate in relevant places where fellow writers and clients and people you want to work with are spending time, because those connections are so valuable. And, you know, when you're working alone, you get kind of lonely sometimes. So it's nice to have those connections. And I think, you know, when I was first starting out, there were a lot of times that I was kind of down and missed having coworkers, missed having that face-to-face connection with people. So I wish I would have joined groups and participated and worked really hard at building up connections earlier in my career, because it's something that I enjoy a lot now, and I could have used in those times when I was feeling kind of isolated, especially during winter months. It's so hard. I live in central Illinois, so, you know, there are some months where I'm inside all the time and I don't see a lot of other people. So it's really valuable to have those outlets.
Well, Kaylee, thank you so much for being a part of our show and our first guest and our guinea pig. And, you know, I took a lot away from our conversation, really thinking about building relationships, especially through Twitter, and also just the power of finding your niche and really focusing on that. It just really stood out to me. So thank you for your time.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Kaylee, if people want to find out more about you or join your list or hire you, where would they go?
It's kayleemoore.com. And I'm hoping that there will be notes somewhere because my name is kind of hard to spell. But yes, kayleemoore.com.
We will have notes.
Great. And on Twitter, I'm Kaylee F. And again, that first name is kind of hard to spell, but I'm Kaylee F. on Twitter, on Instagram. Those are the two places I spend a lot of time. So please connect with me there.
If only our parents could have seen how hard names are to spell on social media back when they named us all, right? Yeah. This has been great. Thanks, Kaylee. We appreciate you taking the time.
And with that, we'll wrap the show.
You've been listening to the Copywriter Club podcast with Kira Hugg and Rob Marsh. Music for the show is a clip from Gravity by Whitest Boy Alive, available in iTunes. If you like what you've heard, you can help us spread the word by subscribing in iTunes and by leaving a review. For show notes, a full transcript, and links to our free Facebook community, visit thecopywriterclub.com. We'll see you next episode.